GT Accord is a blue colonel. He was a number. He was a military attaché in Budapest.
Okay.
And he volunteered to us. And we had been trying to get good communications organized with him and had been having a lot of trouble. Ed Howard had heard about it.
Huh.
And told the KGB in Vienna. The same time he gave to Tolkachev, he said that he had heard about a case when he was on the USSR branch about a Soviet, an angry Soviet colonel in Hungary. And that's right, because there was a big blow up when Accord got all upset because we had terrible problems organizing meetings and everything with him in Hungary. And he got really pissed off at one point. And there was a lot of talk about it, and I think that's how I heard it. And your technical told us and talked about an angry colonel.
Huh.
But they were thinking blue.
Uh-huh.
And you can imagine how many Soviet colonels were running around Hungary.
Oh yeah.
You know, with the group of Soviet forces in Hungary and everything.
So did you know this guy's name then? Or
no, I don't know his name. No, other than he was military attaché.
Oh,
and I also had cables.
Oh, I see.
On my desk.
That
had a lot of specific information about the most recent meeting or something like that, and I would just stack them up. But some of them, I guess, I maybe didn't have cables, so I just described them. But I didn't have names for hugging anybody.
Now, how important was he? I mean,
he wasn't big because we weren't in regular contact with him, and he wasn't really reporting a lot.
Uh-huh.
But he had volunteered to us, and he was a colonel in the group.
Uh-huh.
So
that's big.
Yeah, that's big.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Top.
Okay.
Tickle, of course.
Gordievsky. And yet we have that curious thing that,
yeah,
that he may not have been the one who did it.
That's right. But I certainly told him all about it.
Right. But you didn't.
I don't know. I guess I wasn't the first one.
Which, you think that there may be a mole in the British intelligence?
Why not?
Talk first?
Why not?
Yeah. No, I
agree. Yeah, that's right. G.T. Cowell had volunteered to us in Moscow. He walked up, as I recall, he walked up to a station officer and gave him a package. And G.T. Cowell was an officer in the Moscow KGB, not the second chief directorate, which was counterintelligence. He was at the Moscow region KGB, a counterintelligence officer, not the guy who chasing black marketeers or dissidents or something. He was a counterintelligence officer in the Moscow region, or maybe the Moscow Oblast region KGB. And what he gave the officer was some documents, and I think it was a cloth. And he said, "Analyze this cloth. It's what we put on your cars and stuff, spy dust."
He
didn't tell us much about it, but he gave us a sample. What he said was a sample. It was your checker who told us really all about it. And the documents, one of them was a publication, an internal second chief director publication, and one of the articles actually showed a picture of some spy gear allegedly issued by the CIA to a Soviet agent, and I said, "That's so and so," and it was a guy we suspected was a double agent. Had never really been the guy.
Oh, so you were able to copy that one?
Yeah, it was the kind of cattle package we did it for.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Figure that out. So then you knew he was a double agent.
So then you knew for sure. We always had a lot of suspicion.
Huh. Huh.
Cowell Cowell told us a little bit about what had happened with the Danilo case later on. Danilov was that newsday correspondent in Moscow who got arrested in
84. Right.
He wrote a book about it.
Right. Okay.
And
Nicholas Danilov?
Danilov.
Right.
Okay. And this guy, that's a very complicated case.
Uh-huh.
But in any case, Cowell told us some things about that. And he also gave us an office phone number where we were supposed to call him. We felt it was a phone number of a colleague of his. And we were supposed to get back in touch with him, but Burton got cold feet because the date that this guy selected was 2 days before the presidential election the day before, and Burton was nervous that if by any chance it were a provocation and we got PNG, it would be really bad.
Uh-huh.
You know, Ronald Reagan would be angry.
Uh-huh.
So we blew him off. We didn't make contact. Huh. And then it took months and months of agonizing and a lot of risk for this guy to get back in touch.
Wow.
But he was arrested, and Paul Starnbaum was ambushed going to meet him in the spring of 86.
Okay, that was that.
Yeah, spring of 86, Paul Starnbaum. CK Fitness was probably one of the highest profile cases at the time. He was not a senior officer, but he was in the illegals line of the residency in Bonn.
Uh-huh.
And he knew a lot about German operations because friends were telling him, and you know, some of these secretaries, and we had several, you know, really hot leads from him. He also, the illegals line had been asked by the illegal directorate back in Moscow to survey places where small anti-personnel and incendiary bombs could be put all around American military installations in Germany. This is, you know, war planning.
Uh-huh.
War plans.
Uh-huh.
They weren't going to do that.
Uh-huh.
But this was the requirement.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't do it. And we
Oh, so he was
the reaction. You could imagine the reaction. And he gave us all the sites.
Wow.
The way they would be, you know, I saw me at your time.
Uh-huh. So this was big time.
This was Soviet executive action, assassination, war stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And the Reagan administration, I mean, wow.
They loved that.
Gangbusters, they loved it.
And he also told you about the spies they had.
High-level penetrations in the German government.
Were there a lot?
Oh, yeah. But he only gave us two or three, but they were very big companies, and we later tracked him down.
Forgive me, but I'm thinking of wine sales.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure.
But there were KGB agents
absolutely.
Spots in
absolutely.
Germany. And
absolutely.
Told you
he told us about several of them.
And you didn't pass that on to German or German, or they did?
No way. I mean, because it came from business. I mean, it would have been endless agony. After a lot of work, the way it would have happened, normally, had fitness not disappeared mysteriously, the way it would have happened was, slowly, over time, with a lot of thought and care, technically, those German leads would have gone to the counterintelligence staff of the CIC, and they would have done some preliminary investigation. And then we would have somehow tried to draw up a real sanitary package
mm-hmm.
of involving one of the leads,
mm-hmm.
you know, and hopefully really misdirecting attention way away from kids.
Mm-hmm. And try to
and then pass it to the Germans
uh-huh.
and for the and say to the Germans, here's a lead we have, you know,
uh-huh.
it's a German and here you are,
uh-huh.
let us know how it goes.
Uh-huh.
But it would have taken a tremendous amount of work and effort to sanitize it,
right.
so to speak, to remove any traces so that there's no way that the Germans could say, where did the Americans get this?
Right.
Because
exactly.
the danger was a KGB penetration of the BFE.
Uh-huh.
So that
was being worked on.
That was being worked on.
But there was, what, one, two, three?
I think there were at least two or three leads that really looked like high-level stuff. You see, he didn't know the cases directly because he wasn't in the PR line.
Uh-huh.
But he had a buddy in the PR line and told him a lot of what was going on.
Wow. Why'd they find fitness? Was he a lawyer or something?
No. Most of these are as they should be, random.
Yeah.
Million was a GRU officer in Lisbon. And the reason we called him a million was because we gave him $1 million.
Yeah. You gave him $1 million.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was only half a million. Maybe it was only half a million.
Yeah, wow.
Maybe it was only half a million. I can't remember. He came in and he said he had stolen funds, that he had taken half, it was half a million. That he had taken $500,000 out of the GRU money. He was acting as a finance officer for the GRU residency. And that he had taken $500,000 out of the reserve fund in the GRU cash box and given it to a Portuguese president to his wife to invest in something.
Wow.
And the auditors were coming, so he's out. Now, there's no way cash box. I am sorry. There is no way. And I managed to convince most people of this. And in fact, we did manage in the initial process of talking with this guy about it. We talked to Blizzard in Athens, who's a group colonel, and the deputy resident. And I asked a kind of a roundabout tricky question. The answer to which Blizzard gave unambiguously, no way.
If I look at that, he wanted to make it up. Yeah, he wanted half a million dollars.
That's right. So we put him on a polygraph, though.
Uh-huh.
And he failed it. But that doesn't tell you anything. But in any case, a GRU officer is a GRU officer, so he didn't have $1 million.
Wow. What did he have? Did he have anything good?
Just what the GRU was doing in Portugal, and he'd served in one tour of Paris, so he had some stuff about French stuff. I forget what that was all about. There wasn't much going on. He told us about these guys all, when they recruited, they all tell us about a bunch of our own double agent cases.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, you know, they all say, now let me tell you about these American cases.
Uh-huh.
And he starts telling us about it.
And they're all done one?
And you get to the point where you kind of look at it and say,
And you say
this looks like a double agent case.
Uh-huh.
And then it turns out to be. And he gave us a couple of double agents. Gentile was S&Q line in Washington. Prologue is later.
Okay.
Forget Prologue. Right. Motorboat is later. Forget. Blizzard is a group colonel, deputy resident in Athens, there for the second tour.
Okay.
But he was being recalled. He got a recall telegram in May.
Okay. Before you again.
That's right. Okay. Or was it June? Well, I'm getting confused. I'll get the dates on this later, or someone will. But in any case, he got a cable. His son, who was in Spetsnaz training. Spetsnaz was a big deal then.
Huh.
His son was in the military, and he was a Spetsnaz officer. But he'd fallen off, he'd gotten injured jumping off a parachute top. And so Blizzard was being offered compassionate leave to come back and visit. But he got all nervous and upset, and he defected.
Wow.
And we brought him to the States.
What did he do for you, though? Did he?
He told us everything that the GRU was doing, and
that's what that test.
And it was good stuff.
Uh-huh.
A lot of good stuff. He gave us some really good GRU cases.
GRU
agents in the Greek military. He gave us he'd been in Athens a tour before,
uh-huh.
And he gave us that guy Campilis, that young CIA officer who sold all the satellite secrets.
Oh. Oh.
William, I think William Campilis, Campilis. Campilis case.
Okay.
And then he also gave us, there's a Greek American from MIT or something who was arrested and convicted just a few months ago. And he was here in this jail.
Huh.
And Blizzard gave him to us.
So he gave you two there.
Yeah, he gave us.
He also gave us
a bunch of stuff over the years.
Some Greek.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. He gave us a bunch of good stuff over the years.
Okay.
He also, in between his two Greek tours, he served in the command post in the duty office in GRU headquarters, and so he had all kinds of neat stuff that he had read and learned about sitting in sort of the watch office, the duty office, and telegrams from all over.
So stuff like great. They were doing in the United States, or something?
Not in the U.S., but more sort of worldwide.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't recall that he had much to say about the U.S.
Those kind of things?
No. political developments, intelligence reporting from new residencies, okay. Stuff like that. Okay, Gentile. C.K. Wei, he was a director, K officer, counterintelligence director.
Oh.
Officer. And he was chief of the KI line in Lagos.
Okay.
He had been recruited in
Well, you could have gone.
Yeah, that's right. He had been recruited in Nepal about 15 years before.
Wow.
And he had gone back to the Soviet Union, but without no contact plan.
Uh-huh.
And we hadn't heard from him forever. And then in sometime in, I guess, 84 maybe, he popped up in Lagos.
Huh.
And we sent someone out and met him on the street, and he was still our friend.
I'll be darned. What kind of stuff did he give you? Anything good?
Yeah. The attempts to penetrate a lot of KI. What have you been doing in the Soviet Union? I forgot. We hadn't had a lot of time with him to debrief him by the summer of 85. He had already given us a lot of stuff on their plans. They had recruited at least one Nigerian employee of the American embassy.
Uh-huh.